Vox Quick Hits.
I'm Alana Okin, deputy editor at Vox.com's The Goods. I run an essay series called The Best Money I Ever Spent, where writers explore the purchases, big and small, that have shaped their lives. Today's piece is by my fellow deputy editor, Meredith Haggerty. It's about the best $2.75 she's ever spent on a ticket to ride the New York City ferry. Here's Meredith.
New York is a city where anything can happen, sure. But when you live here, it's also a place thick with inevitabilities. There's the smell of trash and piss in the summer, the visiting families clogging up the sidewalk in winter, the sirens at bedtime and the construction at dawn, and any restaurant that you really love closing as a reminder to never love anything. But the most inevitable of all is the subway at rush hour.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Each car becomes a fully packed group meditation chamber, everyone silently focusing on some version of the same mantra. I'm not here, you're not here, you are not touching me, I am not touching you, I am on a beach or a mountaintop, or I am dead right now. But none of this is happening. None of this is happening. None of this is happening.
None of this is happening. None of this.
Fifth Avenue, 53rd Street.
It's a nightmare, and all the worse in the past few years since the subway has been hideously boned. This communion with your neighbors will run you $2.75 a ride, or $121 for a monthly MetroCard, divided by however many trips you make in 28 to 31 days. And you know what you can get for $2.75 instead? You can ride the NYC ferry. Or at least, and this is a fairly big caveat, I can. To be clear, anyone can ride the ferry, either the NYC ferry or the Staten Island one, which is free. But because I happen to both live and work near water, like approximately 24 other New Yorkers, the ferry is my perfect commute. Let's look at the math. You can see my apartment from my office, give or take, but there's a whole river in between. So I'm a 10-minute walk from a train that requires a transfer to another train, or a 25-minute walk from a farther, faster train. You might be saying to yourself, wow, I bet your rent is a lot for being so far from all those trains. It is, thanks. But I also live a 14-minute walk from the ferry terminal, a stroll that includes a picturesque view of the Manhattan skyline and only one live poultry slaughterhouse. So maybe now you're thinking, okay, I'm convinced. This is a good idea for you, woman I don't know. But the ferry isn't just about what I avoid, i.e. the subway. It's about what I get. I get to ride on a boat. I get to talk about riding on a boat constantly, to everyone. I get to feel the waves beneath the boat and watch people who aren't experienced ferry riders stumble a little bit, which is funny sometimes. I get to use a well-designed and shockingly functional app on my phone to purchase and present my ticket and to make sure the ferry is on schedule. I get to memorize that schedule and then say things like, ah, gotta catch the 6:13, like some kind of commuter rail riding dad. I get a high-speed perusal of Brooklyn Bridge Park, from the people doing free yoga by the promenade to the people doing expensive yoga on the top of the One Hotel. I get two skylines, the Statue of Liberty, a view of the bridge, and, depending on the month, sunset. I also get the very loud horn. Okay, I actually hate the horn. And I get a seat, always. In the summer, the ferry is an easy choice. You get to sit up on the roof deck, wind in hair, sun on face, river and sky shining like the cover of a hymnal. In New York, there are very few opportunities to see a huge expanse of sky, and you can kind of forget that it's amazing and up there all the time. Riding on top of the ferry means cheap and easy access to a feeling mostly reserved for movie trailers, where the camera spins around on a pretty mountaintop. It's a feeling as simple and powerful as I am alive, and that is good. It's much cheaper than therapy. It's even cheaper than drinking. Also, there's drinking, if you so choose, and depending on the boat. The first time I tried boat-based commuting, I got a glass of rosé on tap. I mean, of course. My ferry plan was largely about injecting my life with the kind of delight that can be encapsulated by drinking wine on a boat after work while remembering the sky exists. The bartender asked if I wanted a lid and a straw for my drink, and I, so carefree, said no. I marched up to the upper deck, staked out a spot by the rail, and as the boat began to speed away from the financial district to Dumbo, going just so much faster than I anticipated, I found myself just so extremely covered in a sticky layer of pink wine. I loved it. I loved it so much you would think I was not wearing the contents of a plastic cup of cheap rosé. But I don't drink on the boat anymore. Even if you have a lid, it's not worth it. The ride is kind of short, so you really have to pound that drink. But mostly, it's because what I liked about the ride was the purity of being out on the water and in the sun and having an experience that was enough on its own, without alcohol or my phone or even my friends. All the things I used to protect me from being unmediated and exposed most of the day. It felt amazing to be doing something as necessary and quotidian as getting back home without trying to pretend it wasn't happening at all. I didn't want anything to interrupt that oddly clean time in my largely grimy New York life. It also isn't very good wine. I made a very strict rule for myself that I would only get wine in an emergency, and there's only been one since. I would also never, ever sit below deck with all the people who couldn't appreciate that the sky is up there, which I held too strong until it got even a bit chilly. But even in the cold and the rain and the snow, when the dock is flooded and the water's a little rocky and the roof deck is a distant memory, I still take the ferry. Because again, it's not the subway.